call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings to the automatically deleted husband. Automatically deleted again. Maybe be short today. You know, famous last words. I did a little. I've been wondering about the world, the way the world's going, and the way some friends are going, because it relates then to where's my family going. You know, one of the things I've observed for a long time is the country of Israel, and I say it specifically, like I say, institutional church, to distinguish between the church building and the people, the assembly. But in the same way, there's the country of Israel and there's Israel in the Bible, and we need to distinguish because Israel has multiple meanings, but I won't go through that again. But one of the things that's interesting is there's a lot of tension in that country right now. You know, because one of the things, it's interesting when you listen to people talk about it, depending on who you're listening to, some people talk about, for example, the city of Jerusalem. Some people talk about Al-Quds, same place. Some people talk about the Dome on the Rock. Some people talk about the Al-Aqsa Mosque, same place. Some people will talk about the country of Israel. Some people call it the Zionist entity. That's slander. But anyway, I find this interesting, and you know, it is reasonable. It's, you know, my mom was from Germany. My mom was also from Deutschland. You know, same place. It's different language for the same place. But you know, you have those things, and those really shouldn't be a tension issue. The Zionist entity, obviously, that is slander. But the idea, whether you call it Jerusalem or Al-Quds or the Dome on the Rock or Al-Aqsa Mosque, that shouldn't be an issue of tension. It can be, but it really shouldn't be, because simply a different language. Although Dome on the Rock may be a way to separate it, because you don't want to call it a mosque. I guess if you're outside of the Islamic community, you may not want to call it a mosque. But anyway, apparently, because there's been tension and growing tension there, not only between the Jews or the Zionists and the Islamic community, but also the Christian community, because I'm hearing more and more about Christians. Apparently, they're leaving. They're leaving the country. You know, this happened a lot in 1948 when it became a country. A whole bunch of people left over the following years, and a good part of that was the Christian community, because they're simply unwelcome. That tension is growing. You know, and I think there's a problem here when a lot of the Orthodox community apparently may have the stronger presence, but you know, other Protestant, Roman Catholic, and so forth have some presence there, and of course there's the tour industry. You're putting honor to a place, and I don't think the Lord is calling us to honor a particular place. You know, again, it would be consistent with, you know, the tear down this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He was talking about himself. The temple is just a place. And, you know, again, you have the wall, and that's where the Jewish community, a lot of the Christian community will show up at the wall, a wailing wall is often called. But on top of that is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And and most people can't go there. And I don't know the details, but apparently the neighboring country, Jordan, is the one that administers that. Some sort of deal worked out years ago because, you know, kind of a third party, because that's an area of tension. But anyway, but apparently there are cases where during certain times, under certain conditions, non-Muslims can go into the mosque. And there's a lot of tension when that occurs. A lot of pyrotechnics happen, and apparently fueled by both sides. So there is apparently a growing tension there, And I recently listened to a gentleman, he was an Orthodox priest, talking about how we are, you know, we're being forced to leave. And there was a businessman, Christian businessman, who runs a hotel or whatnot, and said that I've been here for, this is my, you know, I'm like third generation, fourth generation, whatever it was. And he doesn't think that will continue. But anyway, so I wonder about those tensions, because there's a grasp within the Christian community of somehow the Dome on the Rock will be destroyed and new temple will be built and then the Lord will come, kind of thing, you know, trying to interpret the Book of Revelation. And you know, because there's always new tensions and whatnot. I do think there's the fundamental issue that the country of Israel and Israel in the Bible are two different things. But it's not whether or not that's valid. It's what's happening to the culture. And there's a tension that's there. I'm seeing tension there. Another place you see tension is in Ukraine. Where in Ukraine, the Ukrainian government is continuing to step up outlawing the Russian Orthodox Church. Recently, they've shut down particular monasteries, arrested people, and things of that nature for being Russian Orthodox. And there's a lot of people who are, you know, tension there among a particular version of Christianity is really high, and people are getting more than just hurt in this. And these things concern me, because obviously those kind of tensions, when they are fueled by the Christian community, is inappropriate. And in some cases, this is true. A good example of that. I gave you a video yesterday, day before, about an event with Billboard Chris, recorded by Dan Dix of Press for Truth, and the tension that occurred there. Apparently, he did a follow-up. I'll provide that. There's been a little bit of a fiasco, because apparently one of the cops involved in this was... not on the side of peace, put it that way. And my concern is not that what the cop did, but Dan Dix, and I believe Billboard Chris, I don't know if I even know his last name, but I think are coming across as people who are followers of Christ. But where do we have the call to antagonize? You know, because again, I really wonder, you know, I wonder so often how the Lord kept me out of particular things. You know, he extracted me from the political world. And I remember I was on the way to one of the March for Life in Washington, D.C. in the late 80s. And I couldn't get there. I had car problems. Significant car problems, and I was kept from going. And I wonder how often the Lord has restrained me from being involved in places where there is fueling antagonism. Because I think that's really inappropriate. I saw a video of people... just trying to antagonize the Christian community. That's inappropriate for them. But let the Lord handle them. What's appropriate for the follower of Christ? We're not on a level playing field. If they do something that's foul, that doesn't mean we have the right to do the same. So it's something I wonder about. And more, obviously more convinced. It's the, you know, what right do you have to judge those outside? Those inside you are to judge, in Corinthians. And of course, because we encourage and we rebuke brothers, the world we proclaim. I don't think we really, you know, we may rebuke only verbally, but not antagonistically. It is all things that can be done in love, seasoned with salt, but that's not antagonizing. I think the salt is, you know, salt, the preservative, is when I speak to somebody, when I proclaim to somebody, I give them something solid based on the truth, not, we have more power than you and you should do, no, none of that, none of that. I've been wondering about that. But one other thing, because I continue to see more stuff about, there's a current event that has happened about spyware, you know, software that's specifically designed to spy on you. There is the data collection, which is typically done remotely, and so much of the characteristics to do that are built in Windows, Android, those kind of things. We want to know where you are and so forth. This is the, you know, the reason so many computers ask you, do you want to turn on location, and stuff and so forth. I mentioned Skype now says turn on a location and you can use Skype for a 911 call. Kind of like, no, sorry. It's none of your business. But it's part of the tracking stuff. And, you know, which goes on back to the Restrict Act thing that I've mentioned, because again, that's pointing to me. But anyway, there's a little bit more, because in the case of, one of the most prominent is from, again, an Israeli company. I forget the name of it. But anyway, who does a lot of spyware, mostly for phones. Phones is the big market. Because if I can put a spyware on your phone, I know where you are. And whenever I have a desire or need, I can listen to what's going on. And so knowing where you are, and because with that, I know who's around you. I can also, you know, there's a thing about who do you talk to and those kind of things. I can accumulate that. I get that through other ways too. But the important thing is that the tracking that is done by, you know, the cell phone companies, and of course Google, Facebook, all those kind of people, that they do that. They collect. But now I am a third party. A criminal organization, an intelligence community, same thing, whatever government agency, whatnot. And I have a particular thing, and I don't want to go through those channels of, you know, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, and all those kind of things in order to get data. I have those things, but I want to, especially if I'm not part of that criminal organization, you know, the intelligence community, but an actual criminal, I would want to put something so I have direct control. And it's not just monitoring. I might want to be able to do things. There is a growing market for that kind of spyware. One of the things mentioned is one of the targeted groups is journalism. Because if you report on the wrong things, you're a problem and we have to mess with you. And this happens a lot. It's interesting to me, the group that is marketed, you know, it's the police, firefighters, the medical community. Oh, a dangerous job. But, you know, according to the CDC, they're not in the top 10 of dangerous jobs. I think something like number one is being a truck driver. Your odds of dying on the job as a truck driver is much higher than being a police, fire, medical, and so forth. So it's but they're not marketed as well. So it's you market, you don't base it on actual, because it seems, oh yeah, firefighter, oh, it's a dangerous job, but then there's the reality, which is, anyway. But journalism also apparently is, you know, the number of journals. See, you know, I in a sense, well, you know, I got to be careful about this because, you know, Oleg Melnikov, the gentleman who was freeing slaves before apparently he was killed in Ukraine, he was the one who called up the Ukrainian government and says, why aren't I on your kill list? Which is, you know, provocative. And it's kind of like, you know, in a sense, I wonder if I would be safer on the Ukrainian government kill list. You know, a whole bunch of people are. I mean, there's thousands of people on that kill list, including a lot of Americans. A lot of Americans. And, but you're probably safer than if you get on the wrong side of, for example, the Restrict Act or some form of that. Because they can mess with you. You know, there is the you know the talk about the Clinton body count and so forth, and you know, to varying degrees the veracity of that. But then there is what the government does. You know, the things that we know about the, you know, the COINTELPRO, the MK Ultra, various other things. The CIA has done a lot of stuff domestically, and the FBI. Domestically to mess with people. And of course, the provocateurs, you know, especially the most recent thing, I guess, with the January 6th in Washington, D.C., where there was a whole bunch of provocateurs. And, you know, now that that's coming out, it's kind of like, look over there, new pieces, let's look over there, there's the problem. But you see, and that's the issue. I know what happened, I just don't know any details. I haven't seen a single report on it. You know, apparently, Trump was indicted or whatever. And that's where the focus is. Who cares? That's the distraction. I would suggest what's happening around the Al-Aqsa Mosque is a bigger deal. What's happening with the outlawing of particular Christian community within Ukraine is a bigger deal. I would suggest also the even more so the growing acceptance of the homosexual community domestically is a bigger deal than whatever happens to Trump. Trump, that's marketing. And of course, this is helping him more than hurting him. Because obviously, you know, it's the idea of bad news is better than no news, kind of thing. You know, it's free press. So he becomes the person in the limelight. And therefore, come election time, he has all that press around him. And which will probably put him back in office. So that's who cares? My concern is the culture around me is crumbling. And my kids are part of that culture. And I've been trying constantly. How do you engage somebody on this? When I was at the Willabend Farms yesterday, I kind of wondered about that because we talked about the fact people, the young population, don't know how to add anymore. They can't make change. Which is, if you can't make change, oh, digital currency, yeah, let's do that because I don't know how to make change, so I won't need to learn. It's the noose around your neck. And again, if you can't understand how to make change but from a dollar. If somebody's going to steal from you thousands of dollars individually or collectively billions, you're not going to understand. You know, I remember hearing that the what is this, derivative market was at $250 billion. You know, it's the idea of money based on money. It's just vapor. Some estimates now, apparently it's exploded and may have eclipsed $250 billion, which is more money than is in circulation over several years. So it's destroying the economic system. And people who can't make change will not understand this. They will just simply have to submit in order to eat. People who can't look at the fundamentals. Jesus Christ, isn't he a nice guy? He was a good teacher and so forth. And well, that's your truth. Because some people go to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and some people go to the Dome on the Rock. Wait a minute, same place. But they have different perspectives of the same thing. But we're all the monotheistic, and we all worship the same God. Baloney. Absolute baloney. But do you know why? And is it important? Is it important enough to say, okay, is it a club that I'm in? Or is being a follower of Christ, well, again, being a Christian versus a follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, do you follow Christ? Do you get to know him? Do you draw close to him? Do you wrestle with him? Are you obedient to him? Do you keep his commandments? And if keeping his commandments is, what kind of food can I eat? Or what can I do on Saturday or Sunday? Or things of that nature. If that's where your focus is, you're missing the fundamentals of love. I'm concerned because when I see the things going on and I think about my kids, my girl is about to have her birthday. I sent her the happy birthday card yesterday. Yes, I sent her the happy birthday card yesterday. Today I sent the fifth version of postcard. This today went to Jim Cross. I wrote, "He begged us" is on the front of this card for a reason. I sent that to Meadowview, Covenant Presbyterian, Render Keynes, Chris Bitterman, and today Jim Cross. When I added on his, "What will you tell your grandkids, my kids?" He begged us, and we would not listen. When we saw the distress in his heart, when he begged us and he would not listen. Joseph's brothers to him in Egypt, Genesis 42. And it's kind of like, I've been begging you. What happens if one of my kids finds this after all the censorship and breaks through to them? And it's, "Mom, Granddaddy, did you see what my dad was trying to do? What Christ are you following? Are you following the same Christ that Eric Lee is trying to twist?" That's what it seems like. Again, Jim Cross is the one to point him to a guy who used the Talmud as a reference. You know, a significant problem. This is a big deal. It's a big deal. I did some stuff. You know, I wanted to say, okay, let me turn on my first couple of users for email, and I said, okay, there's a couple things that I need to clean up. Do I do this? And a week and a half ago, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, it's going real quickly. It was just falling in place. And then, of course, I had a week of stumbles. Well, I'm back doing well. And I made great progress in that today. And I hope I didn't overdo some things, but I hope to end the week. I said that before, haven't I? I hope to end the week with this working. Because, again, I can, with the tools, send and receive emails, but I got to make some adjustment to make it better for the user. Anyway, I won't go through it. My lady, my wife, what about our kids? Can they make change? Can they tell the difference between a Christian and a follower of Christ? My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.